Father, as always, I thank you this morning for the entrance of your word brings light. We ask that the light will shine into our hearts, giving us understanding, giving us revelation, even as the word has pronounced that we will receive light and we will receive understanding. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I'm following up on yesterday's lesson. I want to do more on various aspects of the, you know, fathers to the children, you know, basically the fathers to the children, you know. So today I want to call it bridging the generation gap. That's what I want to call it today, bridging that generation gap from the fathers to the children. Again, it's part of our generational blessings series. Yesterday we talked about, you know, generational blessings from the fathers to the children, a spiritual heritage. Well, today we want to look at bridging the generation gap. What does that mean? Well, we'll find out in a bit. Let's start here in the book of Malachi, chapter 4 and verse 6. That's where we're going to start today. Praise the Lord. This is a prophetic declaration that the Lord gave. And even the Lord, you know, kind of alluded to this while he was here. Praise God. And he said, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to their children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." You know, so right away we see that, you know, there is something in the mind of the Lord to do here. You know, fathers on one side, children on the one side, but there's a special grace and an anointing, a prophetic anointing that the Lord will bring at the end of the age. That's right. It is called the Spirit of Elijah. You know, Jesus one time talking about John the Baptist, he said, "Look, what went you out for to see? A reed shaking with the wind," and so forth. And he said, "Well, but if you can receive it, this is Elijah that was for to come." You know, so we know that, you know, John the Baptist, he came in the spirit of Elijah. But again, we have right close to the coming of the Lord, because he said, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, you know, we expect, and we know that the two witnesses, they will come later on. But I also believe that there is a spirit and an anointing, just like it came upon John the Baptist, that God will send again, specifically this time around, to turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. And this is one of the things that's going to eliminate a curse. Lord said, "Look, lest I smite the earth with a curse." Now, we're dealing to this in this series with generational blessings and not curses. So everything that can prevent or eliminate that, we want to take a look at from the scriptures. And this is one of them, you know, from the fathers to the children. You know, sometimes there is this gap. There's this gap in between the generations. It's like, you know, the older generation are going one way, the younger generation are going another way. The younger generation feels like the older generation doesn't understand them. And indeed, the older generation doesn't understand them. And so there is this divide, you know, in between. And Elijah was one, you know, that came upon the scene one time and said, "Lord, let the people know that today you have turned their hearts back to the Lord." You know, as he said on the showdown on Mount Carmel. So today we want to know that the Lord is bringing this, you know, revelation to us, that it is in the Lord's heart to blend the generations. That's right. the wisdom and the knowledge and the experience of the older generation blended with the youth, the strength, and the vitality of the younger. That's right. You know, the wisdom, the knowledge, the experience, you know, of the older generation now blended with the youth, the strength, and the vitality, you know, of the younger. So the older, they have wisdom, more so. They have knowledge, more so. They have experience, more so. That's why they're older. But strength, vitality, and youth are on the side of the younger generation. How does the Lord blend it all together? Now, sometimes when I look, it's almost as if we're serving two different gods, you know. It just doesn't seem to be, you know, that connection. The younger folks, you know, they do their thing. Older folks, in fact, at our local church, you know, it's like when we call a prayer meeting, it's almost as if it's just a prayer meeting for the old folks. I mean, young folks don't attend. What's that all about? You know, and then they'll have their own thing. Of course, you know, sometimes the older folks have no patience for some of the stuff that the young people do and all of that. But let me tell you this, you know, that's not the kingdom. Hallelujah. Jesus himself said, look, other sheep I have that I must bring, and there will be one shepherd and one fold. You know, not the old this way. And we know he was talking about Jews, Gentiles, but it's the same thing. We're not going to have the God of the old this way, the God of the new this way, or the young and everybody doing their thing differently. God is going to blend that together. But it starts with the fathers. Praise the Lord. It starts with the fathers. It's not going to start with the children. It's from the fathers to the children. That's what he said. First, turn the heart of the fathers to their children. And then turn the heart of the children back to their fathers. You know, so God needs to bring an understanding to the older generation to figure out this young generation. That's what turning their heart towards the children mean. And the fathers need to repent sometimes of being too harsh and on their high horse and all of these things and so forth. We can't win the young people that way. It just does not work. You know, we got to bring them into an understanding. Well, we have a responsibility. Fathers here represent, you know, the older generation. But again, literally speaking, fathers, we have a responsibility. We covered this yesterday. The responsibility, you know, how God himself fathered Adam and how he provided for him and so forth and gave him instruction. And gave him responsibility, you know, to manage the garden and all of that. We saw how God talked, you know, concerning Abraham, that the Lord knew that Abraham would order his house. He knew that. We saw instructions that God gave, and I'm going to cover some more today, for fathers, how they should instruct their children, and so on and so forth, you know. But let me say something also to the younger generation. There is great value. And I thank God that we got a mix, you know, in this room. I mean, we don't have quite the teenagers, but we've got the mix. And there's a group of people here that are closer to the teenagers than I am, you know, and there's a responsibility, you know, upon you as well. You know, so, you know, I'm going to cover this lesson today, but first, let's see how, you know, what is God saying, you know, to all of us, whether older and whether younger, and how does God want to blend these generations together? Well, how's he going to do it? Well, actually, I've got news for everybody. He needs to do it, and he wants to do it the old-fashioned way. That's right. Old-fashioned way, even though the Lord says that, look, the father's heart will be turned towards the children, the children's heart towards the fathers. It's got to be the old-fashioned way, because the fathers are the ones that know and have the experience of understanding the ways of the Lord. And here's how he says it to everybody in Jeremiah, you know, chapter 6 and verse 16. You know, this is the way that the Lord is going to do it. But let's not jump to any conclusions yet. We've got to hear all of this lesson. Praise God. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16 says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest to your souls, or rest for your souls. Now, so don't let the young generation think, you know, that, oh, you know, the older generation don't have it, they don't understand, you know, and so forth. But the Lord says, look, go back to the old paths. Look for that good old way, you know, and walk in it. That's where the power of God lies. Because, you know, the Lord is called the Ancient of Days, isn't he? Yeah. He never changes, you know, and so forth. It was the same. Hebrews 13 and 8 tells us the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God called it out as evil then, it's still evil today. You know, the world is the one that changes. God doesn't change, you know, and God doesn't change his word just to suit the situation or the world around us. You know, people say, oh, well, you guys are old fashioned. You know, that was then, but look, here's where we are now. Well, that's not according to scriptures. Old fashioned or not, the word of God remains the same. You know, his goings forth have been from of old, according to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. You know, has been from of old. And he does not just suddenly one day say, okay, well, I am going to change everything, you know, so that it will align with the interests, you know, of the younger generation. There's a lot of things that the younger generation want to do, which may be good. Some may actually not be according to the scriptures, but in any case, you know, let's find out today. Lord, that has been our dwelling place in all generations. That's right. According to Psalm 90. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, from everlasting even to everlasting, thou art God. So you see, God's ways are like that. It's been the same from whatever time that we can even imagine. And it's always going to be the same. You know, but there is a requirement for the fathers to understand also the young. There's a requirement for the young to look to the fathers. I'm going to give some scriptures, and then we're going to break this thing down and understand what the Lord is doing. In order for the generational blessings to pass from the fathers to the children, there is a need for the closing of this generation, this imaginary generation gap that we have created. You know, so listen to this in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 28. There is a commandment even to the younger folks. And so you younger folks, listen to me in here today. I'll be speaking to the fathers too in a minute. But listen to this. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. You know, so why did he say that? You know, why did he say that? Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. There is a reason why God is telling the ancient landmarks, calling it out. Same thing in Proverbs 23 and verse 10. Remove not the old landmark. You know, Don't do away and say, well, that's all old ancient stuff. That stuff doesn't matter. Well, it does. You know, in fact, we are constantly being told. In fact, when God was dealing with the Jews, and I'm going to talk more about this tomorrow, how God dealt with them from generation to generation. But, you know, constantly being reminded of the faith of the fathers throughout the scriptures. We are constantly being reminded of the faith that was once delivered to the saints, like in Jude, you know, chapter 1, verse 3. We're constantly being reminded that, look, the oracles, you know, belong to the fathers, were given to the fathers in the beginning. And it was the father's responsibility to communicate the same to the generations that came after them. You know, these things are important. You know, even Paul, you know, the way that Paul described these things, you know, how he structured his life, he said in Acts chapter 24 and verse 14, you know, he said, look, you know, these people are accusing me of stuff that, you know, this was Paul, you know, when he was in front of Felix, I believe he was governor or something. And he said, look, he was giving his testimony, and in verse 14 of Proverbs 24, Acts 24, here's what Paul said. He said, look, this is the way that I exercise myself. I confess unto you today that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. Yeah, there's a reason why he said it that way. Believing all things which are written in the law, you know, and in the prophets. You know, so these things were handed down. The younger generation can't throw them away and then just be doing whatever they would like. That's not going to work. You know, and some people actually believe that, you know, the only way to reach the young people is music, entertainment, and all this stuff. Well, that may be good. That may be what they want. But music will never save anybody. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You know, and that's it. You know, the while we must learn tenderness and understanding of the, you know, what's going on with the youth and so forth, you know, we cannot present something other than the way it was done. The way it was done in the old was to present the scriptures, present the gospel, and give an understanding. And even when they would talk to the Jews, they would trace it down from their fathers. They would trace down how God spoke to Abraham, trace it all the way down. That's how, you know, Stephen preached, and every one of these people, even Peter on the day of Pentecost, they always traced it down, connected them back to their fathers, brought it right back, and then brought it into their day. You have to trace it back. And we cannot but trace back everything to the beginning. You know, I mean, there can be no children without fathers. And so even you will notice that in the scriptures, sometimes there are genealogies and generations of some people that God calls out. And I will be speaking more about this tomorrow. By the grace of God, tomorrow I'll be talking about the generation of the Lord. And we're going to find out. You know, but today, let's take a closer look at the responsibilities of the fathers, you know, and how we must reach out to the younger generation. And, you know, I also being a father, there are many things that I, you know, needed to have learned many years ago, but I didn't learn those things then, you know, and, but lately I have understood how to bridge the gap, you know, coming from the school of hard knocks back then when I was raising my kids. You know, with gravity, yes, but perhaps too harsh sometimes, you know, because, you know, the Lord, he deals with us with gravity, but kindness and tender mercies. Hallelujah. You know, and if the Lord were to deal with us the way, of course, the Lord also chastises every son that he receives, you know, but his own chastisement is not for, I mean, to bring grief. That's a reason, correcting us in love for our benefit. And when we chastise, correct our children, those of you who are still raising children, it's got to be done in love. It's going to be done with grace also, you know, because, I mean, you don't want to push these children away, you know. So here are the instructions that God gave to fathers. Fathers must teach their children the ways of the Lord. And this is what helps to bridge the gap. You know, but we must rely on the Holy Spirit to help us understand how to connect. That's right. How to connect with the younger generation. You know, but here's what the Lord said in Deuteronomy 11 and verse 18. You lay these my words in your heart and in your soul. You must bind them as a sign upon your hand. They may be as frontlets between your eyes. It's as if you put on glasses through the word of God. And you shall teach them to your children. Speaking of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And you need to write them upon the doorposts of your house. Make it visible, you know, and so forth. And so that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children, and so on. Now, children are not to be left behind. There are some parents, you know, that need to go to, I mean, they have young children and they want to go to prayer meeting or whatever. You know, they will even arrange for, I don't know where they got that from, arrange for a babysitter because they're going to go do these things to church. And then the babysitter will stay with their children at home. Well, you know, if that's how we raise our children, then how in the world are you going to, you know, tell the children or let the children know that this is the way of the Lord. You know, we give them the impression that, well, this is for adults and children need to stay home. What's the meaning of that? Jesus said, let the little children come unto me. You know, even the disciples around Jesus, every time people tried, the little children tried to come around him. You know, some people brought the little children to him, you know, to lay his hands on them. And disciples rebuked them and said, don't bother the master. He doesn't have time for that. And Jesus said, absolutely, I do. These little children, let them come unto me. That's right. You know, don't leave them at home while you are in the night vigil. There's no such thing. You know, that's why these young folks, they can't do night vigil. They don't understand what it even means. You know, and, you know, when we were many years ago, my kids were little, you know, very, very little. Drag them to the night vigil, whether they want to go or not. Put them on the floor, cover them with sheets, even if they want to sleep. Back in Nigeria, there are mosquitoes and all. We put on the mosquito coil. Some of you might know what that means. Whatever, you know, they have to go through it. You know, bring them up in the way of the Lord. You know, don't leave them behind when you do the things of the Lord. When you talk things of the Lord. And shut out the children thinking that they can't understand. Well, that's why they're not understanding. You know, because we've had this culture, you know, of shutting children out. We can't do that. You know, we need to talk to our children as though they understood, even when they're still little. Talk to them about the things of God as though they understand. And you know, sometimes people actually think that children can't understand anything. You know, and then we just despise the little ones. You know, but I tell you what, there's a lot of young folks in the Bible, you know, that understood a lot of things, you know, not, it wasn't always older people alone. In fact, we saw the, you know, we saw the response of Elihu in Job chapter 32. He said, look, I waited for gray hairs to speak. I waited for days to speak, you know, but he said, look, days don't always have the answer. Aged are not always the one that know it all, you know, but, you know, sometimes, you know, the, we got to look to the youth too. You know, there are a lot of young people, you know, in the Bible that did great things for the Lord, you know. And in fact, many stories in the Bible point to some young folks that did great things, you know, before the Lord. And even, you know, stories about, you know, a young king called Josiah at 8 years old. Second Chronicles 34, 8 years old when he began to reign. You know, I mean, 8 years old. If you have an 8 year old child today, can you actually trust them that they can have enough sense to reign or even to understand scriptures, let alone to reign? But you know, just like everyone else, you know, the prophet would come with the testimony, and that's the Torah, and it'll come with a, you know, a jar of oil. That's right, and the scepter, and it'll give them these things, give them the scepter, pour the oil on their head, and give them the testimony, just like whether it was an old man that he was anointing or a young one, same thing. And once the anointing comes upon them to be king, in fact, some of the young kings in the Bible had more, a whole lot more sense than the older kings. They come in there and they did great things and cleaned out all the mess. Praise the Lord. You know, like this Josiah, who was only 8 years old, he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, you know, and he did not turn to the left or to the right. In fact, we're told that he walked after the ways of, you know, David, his father. And there are many examples like that, you know, that are in the Bible, you know. And when he began to reign, there's a lot of things. Bible say he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places. And read it in Second Chronicles chapter 34. When the, you know, began to purge. By the time he was 16, my goodness, he cleaned house. You know, he had cleaned house all the groves, all the carved images, all the molten images. He broke down the altars of Baalim, broke down his images, broke down all these things, and so forth. And he cleansed Judah and Jerusalem, you know. And he did all these things in Manasseh, Ephraim, Simeon, Naphtali, all these places. He was a young man. You know, started at age 8, and he was a teenager when he did all these great things. You know, cut down all the idols throughout the land of Israel. He did it too. And he was just a young man. So let's never, you know, despise, you know, young folks who think that they can't, they don't know anything. You know, when we start to make a separation in their early ages, then when they grow up, they'll still be separated. If you start to not include them or exclude them when they are 6, 7, 8 years old, then by the time they are teenagers, they just think that, well, that's just old people's thing to do. No, the Lord is needing to blend the fathers with the children, you know, and God must give grace to the fathers. Now, sometimes we fathers, we've been too harsh on the younger generation. And sometimes we need to come off our high horse. You know, the Lord, he had to come down from heaven and relate to us in the way of human beings. You know, he didn't just stay in heaven, you know, and telling us everything from there. He came down to earth, took on the form of a man, you know, and so forth. And so sometimes, you know, fathers, we need, you know, I should have learned this many years ago. You know, you have to come down from your high horse sometimes, you know, and listen to the younger generation, you know, and hear them out, see things their ways. However, maintain the way of the Lord in the instruction of righteousness. But listen to them, you know, and, you know, find out what, you know, how they think, you know, and so forth, so that we can relate to them. There must be a closing of this gap. You know, let's look at what the psalmist said in Psalm 71. Now, David was someone that blended, you know, experience, the grace of God in various phases of his life. You know, from the time that he was a young man up until, you know, a little bit older, and even until he was older. I mean, he had experience with God throughout many phases of his life. At first, he might have been, you know, just, you know, loving to play the flute, sing some songs, hang around the brook, you know, hang around the sheep, whatever. But his heart was on the Lord from a tender age. He loved the Lord. And, you know, here's how he, you know, he says it in Psalm 71, you know, verse 16. I will go in the strength of the Lord God, you know, and he said, I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. You know, oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth. That's right. And hereto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. You know, and he knows that he needs to bridge the gap. You know, I've been there. I've been young. I'm older now. You know, even when I'm gray-headed, don't forsake me until I've showed thy strength to this generation and thy power to the next generation, everyone that is to come. He knew that he needed to bridge the gap. And we have to take these things seriously. You know, we must travail in prayer for the younger generation. Every generation must travail in prayer, you know, for the next generation to make sure that, you know, we pass on the knowledge of God, you know. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be a different situation if they grow up not knowing the Lord, you know. So that's not a good thing. excuse me. In the, you know, in the book of Judges, you know, let's read Judges chapter 2. And you might remember, you know, the story of this, the Jews, the Judges, you know, I mean, of course, they came out, Exodus and all of that. But there are many other things that happened to them. You know, in the days of Joshua, everybody served the Lord. But Joshua did not mess around. Now, Joshua was a young man. He also knew, you know, how to blend, you know, the old and the new. He followed Moses very closely. He would not depart from Moses. When Moses was in the mount, he was at the bottom of the mount. The other people were messing around. He stayed right there, you know. And so when the mantle came upon him also, you know, he was a man of war and did not mess around at all. And he's in his days, we are told, you know, all of Judah served the Lord. You know, and so forth. But, you know, there come a time after his days, you know, there was a generation that came after him that knew not the Lord. You know, so why is this important? Well, let's read it. You know, Joshua chapter 2 and verse 8. Now, Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath Heres. in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation, now the generation of Joshua, you know, remember the older generation perished. They came out of Egypt. They perished because they did not sanctify the Lord. And they perished. And so they didn't sanctify the word of promise in their hearts. And they perished. And the Lord brought the younger generation in through under Joshua. But now, when Joshua was 110 years old and he died, they buried him. Listen to what the scripture says. And all that generation, you know, that was with Joshua at the time, they themselves were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord. Now, this is dangerous. You know, they didn't know the Lord. They didn't know yet the works that the Lord had done. Why? Because at some point, the people of the previous generation, you know, stopped telling them these things. They stopped telling them about the memorials. God used to tell them, look, when your son will ask you, what meaneth this thing? Then you will tell them how the Lord brought them out with a mighty hand out of the land of Egypt. You set up this memorial, set up this pillar over here, do this and this. God was always telling them how to pass this thing on. Well, they did for a while, but then they stopped. And when they stopped, well, eventually the knowledge of God dissipated and just went away from them. Finally, there came, rose up a generation that knew not the Lord. Now, that's a dangerous place to be. And we need to make sure that does not happen under our watch. Well, I thank God that in my generations, my children and their children know the Lord. Now, but it's upon them also to pass this thing on, to make sure that the next generation, the next generation do not come up short of the knowledge of God. Now, if they don't pass it on, well, they're going to do evil in the sight of the Lord, and they're going to forsake the Lord God of their fathers. You know, and God was always, this is how God always talked to them, the Lord God of your fathers, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. You know, so God was always trying to bring that connection back. Even like Paul said, well, I worship the God of my fathers, you know, and so forth. You know, and God will always talk to them about the God. You know, even Jesus, you know, when they were asking him about the resurrection of the dead, I said, look, you guys don't know the power of God, neither you believe the scriptures. Did not God call himself the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So Jesus was using an argument to show that Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac and Jacob are living. Otherwise, God would not subscribe himself to, by the name of God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob if they are dead. Because God is not a God of the dead, Jesus said. But what does that mean? Well, God was always talking to them about their fathers, you know, in fact, the patriarchs, the fathers, and all of these things, always trying to take them back, you know, and it was the father's responsibility, you know, to pass it on to their children. Praise the Lord. Sometimes they did pass it on, and sometimes they didn't pass it on. You know, now here are some words that God will have to both generations together, whether old or young, whether older or younger, you know, whether the current or the next generations, God will have some words for us together to consider. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Here's what the Lord says to everyone in verse 7. Remember the days of old. God is always called. You can't get away from it, young generation. You can't do it. You know, you cannot dismiss the older generation as you don't have a clue. He can't do it because God's always going back and talking about it. You know, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Ask your elders, and they will tell you. They will tell you the days when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance and separated the sons of Adam. All these things. He set the bounds of the people according to the number of children of Israel. You know, he began to tell them, look, go back, ask your father. So God's trying to always make the connection. God did not want the separation. You know, he wanted the connection. You know, but sometimes we forget that connection. You know, there must be the closing of that so-called generation gap. God wants to bring a connection, or I should say, reconnection. You know, now in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, Paul also trying to connect the generations together. He talked to children, he talked to parents. You know, try to bring them together. You know, he said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Did you know that was the first commandment with promise? Every other commandment, God just put it out there. But this one, he said, that thy days may be long upon the earth and so forth, if you honor your father and mother. And so even God, from the beginning, establish that connection. You can't get away from your father and your mother as far as honoring them. You can't do it. You got to honor them. You know, and there's no age limit to it. You can't say, now I'm 14 years old, 16 or 18 or 21 or whatever age, and then you stop honoring your father or mother. Well, you might miss out on a great blessing. It was our first commandment with blessing. And Paul was reconnecting them here. And he said, look, that it may be well with you, that you may live long upon the earth. You know, those are some blessings that come there. And then turn around to the fathers as well. And this is a grave word to the fathers. Provoke not your children to wrath. Many of us did that. I did that when I was young, but I didn't know how to raise children. You know, I was too harsh. You know, there was no training. You know, I didn't learn, you know, the right way to do it with grace and so forth. You know, but I just thank God that lo and behold, my children still turned out, you know, to love the Lord. And it's amazing that my children actually love me still, you know, because I was very harsh on them. But I guess they figured out, you know, that, look, doing it for our sakes, they figured it out. They didn't like it at the time. I mean, no chastisement at the moment is pleasing to the flesh, you know, but, you know, especially my oldest daughter, I don't think she's here now, you know, because she coming being the first, she was like, well, that was my training ground. I was very harsh on her and so forth. And she had a mind of her own too. But today, she loves me. My other daughter, she loves me too. All my children, my sons, they love me, you know, despite being harsh, because they knew in my heart, you know, I love them and I did the best I could. Well, sometimes fell short. I understood that, you know, and, you know, there was one day, I'll tell you this. I want to make this personal now and, you know, be vulnerable and transparent. You know, there was one day after I came on this app, I went, you know, there was a room I used to frequent then. I went in that room and some of the young people were talking about, you know, this thing, this subject, but in a different way. And they were talking about, look, their parents don't understand them, this and that, and so on. You know, and, you know, one young lady spoke up. And she started talking about, you know, that parents don't understand anything, and that they just, you know, do this, they do that. She was complaining. And as she was speaking, I was almost hearing, you know, my daughter say, well, you don't understand. And I always used to wonder, what do you mean I don't understand? I do understand. Been there, done that. You're not the first person to be a young person. Look, I've been there, I've done that. But you see, you know, I did not understand. That's the truth, you know, but I thought I did, and I didn't understand. And, you know, this girl said so many things, which my daughter used to say, you know, and I would say, wow, what do you mean? You know, and then finally it hit me. And my goodness, I just broke down that day. I said, wow, you know, this is what, you know, these young people think. They just think that we don't get it, you know, and, you know, we got to make the young generation realize that we get it. Praise God, you know, and so there's some training and coaching, life coaching that is even needed for parents in this age that we are in now. Because looking from the eyes of the younger generation, they think we don't get it. And maybe we don't. But here's what the Lord said. Turn the hearts of the fathers first to the children. That means the parents must take the first step. Don't sit on your high horse waiting for the children to repent and everything. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But we got to reach out to them. Hallelujah. You know, I love the story, you know, of the prodigal son. You know, I mean, the father was always on the lookout, you know. And I believe also, you know, he probably asked, look, have you heard from your brother? And I said, who? Because the other guy didn't really care. And every day the man was on the lookout. And sometimes he would probably send his servants, go to the neighboring town, see if you can find out about my son. They come back and say, we've heard nothing. This young man went far away from home just to make sure that he, you know, cover his tracks. But I guarantee you, he made a bad move. And one day, he came to his senses. That's the best part of the story. When he came to his senses, he said, look, I gotta go back, you know. But when he was going back, though, father, who was always on the lookout, didn't even wait. He ran to him. Ha! Hallelujah. Gave him assurances, you know. And this young man began to say, well, I'm not worth. Stop. You know, you are my son and you've returned home. And he called his servants, make a feast. Hallelujah. And you know, it was an amazing sight to behold what this father did, how he received, you know, his son that was lost. Did you know that there are parents that have had their children run away from home? You know, and what do you do when they come back from home? You know, discipline them like crazy. Well, I did that too. You know, when my children misbehaved, discipline them like crazy. That's not always the answer. This father of this prodigal son, when this, the one that returned home, he loved on him, celebrated his return. You know, he didn't say, look, I don't even want to hear it. Because the man, it was the responsibility of the son to repent. Absolutely. It was the responsibility of him to come back. Absolutely. But the father did not dwell on it. The father just received him with wide open arms and celebrated his return. That's all he cared about. You know, that's a lesson that we need to learn there. Just celebrate the return. You know, one time, you know, I mean, I'm a dog lover, you know, or at least used to be. I can't do that stuff anymore now because I can't, don't have time to do that. But, you know, I love, you know, I even do dog training, watch the videos, learned all those things and so forth. I was younger. You know, I learned even from nature, you know, how you deal with your dog. When your dog runs away from home, you know, and comes back, you know. Now, when the dog comes back, if you beat that dog or smack him around, you know, the dog thinks that, oh, you don't like the fact that he came back, you know, because they don't understand it. Because when they're out there and they finally come back and you smack him around and punish him for coming back and say, oh, well, maybe they don't like the fact that I came back, you know. But, you know, I learned from that video that, look, if you go out there and find him, you yell at him outside. But when he comes back in the house, and you give him a lot of love and attention, then he'll figure out that, my goodness, It's better in here than out there. And I'm like, look, even if, you know, in nature, you can learn these things. What about how we deal with our children? We need to let them know it's better here than out there. So when they're out there and they come back, that's the time to celebrate their return. Not the time to yell at them and scream at them. They're already back already. You know, the father of the prodigal son, he didn't even go there. But the child must repent. The child in his heart already repented. He said, look, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am not worthy. He started to say that. Father said, stop right there. Glory to God. You know, and so, you know, there is a action on both sides to reconcile, you know, and I mean, families will be, we would be much better off when we close this gap between the older and the younger generations. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. I got to move along with this thing here. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Also, again, showing us how we must, you know, the relationship between the older and the younger. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So remember the older, follow their faith and honor them. Well, that's not negotiable. You got to honor them. That's not negotiable, you know. And parents must teach their children. That's not negotiable either. That's what God said about Abraham. But did you know, there's a warning here, you know, that in the last days, perilous times shall come, we're told in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Perilous times. And, you know, so many things will come, you know. Children will now be disobedient to parents. They'll be unthankful. They'll be unholy, you know, and so on. You know, so we got to be careful. Young generation better be careful now. Don't be disobedient to your parents. Don't dishonor your parents. Parents have a responsibility to pull the children in and to love them. And the children have a responsibility also, you know, to honor their parents and not be disobedient. Now, what is God doing? He's calling out one chosen generation. That's right. A blending of the old and the 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. One generation. Not two. Praise the Lord. He's bringing them together under one canopy. For ye are a chosen generation. That's the way the Lord is doing it. Bringing all of us together. See? A chosen generation. One generation. A royal priesthood. Just one. You're bringing us together into oneness. Praise the Lord. Well, let's read a few more scriptures. And then there's one or two other things I need to say. In the book of Isaiah, you know, chapter 58. Let me read. I think verse 12 is what I'm looking for. Praise the Lord. That's what the Lord said. You know, this is, you know, again, seeing how the Lord will bring those generations together. The Lord shall guide it continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. Make thy bones to be fat, make you like a water garden, a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee, that's right, build the old waste places. You know, the older, the newer generation will, you know, restore the old foundations that have been despised. That's right, you know. And let not the young people despise the ancient landmarks, which thy fathers have set. You know, You yourself will raise up foundations of many generations, and they will also raise up the ruins that were despised. This is how the Lord repairs the breach. and how he closes the gap. Restorer of paths to dwell in. The repairer of the breach. This is how he does it. You know. And there are promises that pull all of us together. One generation shall praise thy works to another. You know, Psalm 145 and verse 4. We pass this on to our children and we do not separate in worship. We do it together. One generation, praise thy works to another. Declare thy mighty acts and so forth. How about Isaiah? And he was talking about the Christ. You know, how did the Christ say it? He said, well, in Isaiah 8 and 18, behold, I and the children that the Lord has given me, they are for signs and for wonders. Signs and wonders. Praise the Lord. One generation. Now, what is this generation going to look like at the coming of the Lord when the Lord actually, you know, turns the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children back to the fathers? There is a dichotomy right now, and there's still a gap, and the Lord will close it. But at the end of the age, the spirit and anointing of Elijah, you know, he will bring such a turning of the hearts of the fathers to the children. It's like we're doing here. The hearts of the children to the fathers as well. You know, and this will be the generation of them that seek him. One generation. Psalm 24 and verse 6. This will be that one generation. The Lord will bring them together. Did you know also that the Lord promised in the book of Amos, chapter 9 and verse 11, that the Lord will raise up again the ruins of old. You know, God's always going back and talking about those things. You know, why? Because he wants to bring it all together. Hallelujah. In that day, saith the Lord, will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and I will close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins. And build it as in the days of old. Don't despise the days of old. Young people, don't despise the days of old. You know, older people, don't despise the youth as well. You know, John, he wrote many things. He said, look, I write to you young men because you are stronger. And you have overcome the devil. You know, the youth have strength on their side. But the Lord is always calling their attention back. You know, so I will build it as in the days of old. Don't forget it. Go back to the good old paths. Stand in the ways and see where the good old way is at. And remove not the ancient landmarks. You know, and even Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he brought it together. You know, he did not separate, you know, between, you know, the older generation or the newer generation. In fact, he quoted the prophecy of Joel, you know, because Joel said, you know, I will pour out my spirit upon the young and the old. The young will do this, the old will do that. Old men dream dreams, young men see visions. Upon your handmaidens and servants in those days will I pour out my spirit. Sons and daughters alike will pour out the spirit of the Lord. And listen to how Peter on the day of Pentecost brought it together. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 2 verse 17, quoting the prophecy of Joel, shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will not be left out. Now, your sons and your daughters, he's pulling it together there. Your young men, not just the old men, you know, well, you say the old men, there's no connection. There's no relationship. You know, but Peter brought it out by the Holy Spirit in a different light. It's not just the old man. It's not just the young man. You know, old. If you say the young shall do this, the old shall say, there's no relationship. But when you say your, then you're connecting it together. Your sons and your daughters, prophesy, your young men. So if you're old and you have young men, well, it's connecting them together by using the your there, you know. And your old man shall see and dream dreams. So when you think of your old man, you know, the anointing is still on them, you know, and so forth. and he'll bring everyone together in those days, saith the Lord. And we jump down to, you know, verses 36 through about 39 when they were saying, well, you know, what shall we do and so forth? And he began to tell them what they must do. And here's what he said in verse 39. For this promise is unto you and to your children. So that's the connection again. As many that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And the Lord always, you know, trying to put it together. Now, tomorrow, by the grace of God, I will finish a vital part of this message, which will be the generation of Jesus Christ. You know, we're going to declare it. What is it all about? Now, remember that Christ is called the firstborn among many brethren. Christ is the one that said, look, behold, I and the sons and the children that you have given me for signs and wonders. You know, so there is something. We were tracing it down from yesterday, the fathers to the children. You know, and today it's like, look, let that connection be restored so that we can truly pass the blessings on. And let's get away from this separation. And fathers who are waiting for, and if you are a father or a parent and your children have gone astray, you know, that's always the burden in the hearts of godly parents, because you want all your children in the faith. But some, you know, sometimes they've gone astray, you know, and you keep on praying, you keep on believing the Lord will bring them back. But when they do come back, what should we do? But here is the promise of the Lord that they will come back. Thus saith the Lord. Jeremiah 31 and verse 16. Refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy walk over these children shall be rewarded. You labored, you trained them, according to Proverbs 22 and 6, you trained them the way they should go. The Lord said, when they depart, when they are old, they should not depart, but they departed. You know, that means they must come back. And that's what I always say. When the Lord says it's going to be this way and it turns out to not be that way at first, it means it must still come back to be that way. Like Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, concerning Lazarus. But yet Lazarus died. Well, because Jesus said it's not unto death. And if Lazarus actually ended up dying, well, it means that the end result will be as if he never died, which means he must come back to life. It's pure and simple. If the Lord says that you should train up your children in the way that they should go, and when they are older, they will not depart from it. But then you see that they actually did depart from it. Well, what should you then do? Well, it means you must hold on to the fact that they must come back. You take Proverbs 22 and 6. You put it side by side, you know, with the book of Jeremiah that we are reading here, verses 31, 16. You put it together in 17. And here is what comes out of it all. You say, well, I trained them that they should stay with the Lord, but they departed. Well, you said they would not depart, but they did depart. But that means they must return. And that's what he's saying here. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy walk shall be rewarded. You know, all that training and stuff will be rewarded. You know, but you must do it, and it will be rewarded. And they shall come again. Masota lerekebo shandeliaba. They shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own boy. Hallelujah. So this is the promise that we must stand upon. Now, to every father or parent that's in the house, we have a responsibility. Gather our children, you know, in the name of the Lord. You know, as the hen gathers her chicks under her feathers and so forth, well, we must also gather them. You know, psalmists talk about, you know, under his wings and under his feathers will I trust and so forth. True shall be my shield and buckler in Psalm 91. Well, you know, this is the kind of protection, guidance, and so forth that we must provide for our children. But there must be healing. The spirit of Elijah is the one that is prophesied to bring this healing. Healing is what turns the hearts of the fathers toward the children. There are some things that must be healed. Some bitter waters must be healed. You know, the good thing about the power and anointing of the Lord that he sends in various times, for this particular purpose, it's coming in the spirit of Elijah. But the Lord called it out by saying, look, the spirit of the Lord is upon me. Has anointed me to preach the gospel. Good tidings to the poor and etc. You know, bind up the broken hearted. You know, those things must be healed. Healing of broken hearts, healing of bitter waters between the generations of the generation of the father and the generation of their children. There must be healing. But God promised it. He promised it already. And I'll be praying right now over this room. If you are in a relationship of parent-children relationship that has gone south, so to speak, I'm going to pray over that today because the Lord has promised us the spirit of Elijah to bring that closing of that gap. But first, the fathers must humble themselves, reach out to their children. I've heard of parents and children that don't talk. I mean, some people haven't talked to their parents for a long time. You know, some people haven't talked to their children for what kind of relationship would that be? You know, what if God never spoke to you? Where would that leave you? You'd be lost because we need his voice and we need his guidance, you know, and, you know, children, you know, despise not the chastening of the Lord or the parent. Yeah, perhaps your parent chastened you when you were younger, you know, and what was it all about? It was for your good. So I'm going to pray for healing, you know, the lesson of these generational blessings needs to continue through the closing of the gap so that we're one generation. God can pass it on. We do not want a generation that come after us that don't know the Lord, because there was such a gap that the one didn't talk to the other, you know, and they didn't have an opportunity to learn from their parents, or the parents didn't have an opportunity to pass it on, but they wouldn't talk to each other, you know. So we got to pass it on, because this world is getting darker and darker. And there's a lot, tremendous responsibility, you know, that is coming upon the youth. They need to carry the torch and shine it in this crooked and adulterous generation. And they need the support of their fathers, you know. And I'd love to see, you know, as it was in the olden days, children and their parents, older and younger, fellowshipping together. And right in the midst, the spirit of the Lord will come upon not the old person, but the young person in the midst. And they will prophesy, because that's what the Bible says, your sons and your daughters, right there when you are fellowshipping together. Not that the older people are having their fellowship here and the young people have their own fellowship. No. When they are together, the spirit of the Lord come upon the young people and they begin to prophesy. Hallelujah. And the old people say, yeah. That's right. That's what I'm talking about. You know, that's what I'm talking about. Because we want to see the spirit of the Lord come upon the young, that they would take the flag and carry the banner forward in their own generation as well. And for us to do that, first you reach out with love and smooth out the rough edges. You know, let there be healing. Let the bitter waters be healed. in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray over this room today. Parents on the one hand, children on the other hand, this big gulf in between sometimes. Lord, I pray, Lord, that there will be a closing of that gap. You promised that there will be a restorer of paths to dwell in, you know, and a repairing of broken bridges between fathers and children. Now, Lord, from the fathers to the children, let there be grace flowing. And then likewise, respect and honor flowing back to the parents. And bring this healing over the land in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, if you are a parent and there is a problem there, reach out. Glory to God. Humble yourself and reach out and see an amazing thing that God will. And don't be discouraged if they don't at first, you know, receive your reaching out. We were rebellious children also from the Lord, and we did not at first know the Lord. And it took Jesus reaching out to us, you know, and the Holy Spirit, you know, chasing us for a long time before we finally, you know, got it. You know, so the fathers must have the grace. I pray for the fathers who receive the grace. Hallelujah. Go after their children where there has been such a gap. Go after them. Jesus said a good shepherd will leave the 99, go after the one that's lost. And when he finds him, bring him on his shoulder and bring him back. Praise the Lord. And give the grace, Lord, to the children also. Honor their parents. And look, remember the rock from whence you are hewn. Remember the hole from where you were dug out. You know, now don't despise the gray hair, because the Lord said, go back to the good old paths and remove not the ancient landmarks which your fathers have set. There's a reason why they were your fathers, especially when they were godly fathers. And God had put something in them. And there is a blessing that the fathers must pass on to the younger ones as well. The devil doesn't want you to do that, so he brings this gap. You can't even talk to your children. How are you going to bless them? You must pass this blessing, generational blessing, on to your children. And the gap needs to be closed so we can pass it on. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for everyone that's listening today. Give grace where grace is needed. Give humility, grace to humble ourselves. Give grace to the younger ones also to honor their parents all the time. Honor your father and mother. Not just your father and mother. Honor them both, that it may be well with you, that you may live long upon the earth. Now, you know, unto the fathers, whose were the oracles, you know, and the principles of God delivered, we command and exhort every one of you that's a father, I being also a father, that you take good heed to the state of thy flocks, which are your children. Hallelujah. And, you know, Jesus promised this. Of all that the Father has given me, I will lose none of them. Ha! But I will raise him up at the last day. Now, let no father lose any of their children. Hallelujah. And here is the prayer that I pray for my children, and you should pray for your children as well, just like Jesus prayed for us. Say, Holy Father, keep through thy own name these whom you have given unto me, and call their names out by one before the Lord, and the Lord will bring restoration. God, you know, all he takes is for us to humble ourselves and align ourselves with reproof, with correction, and with instruction in righteousness, and then see what the Lord will do. Thank you, Father. I give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, that's my lesson for today. Praise the Lord. Tomorrow, by the grace of God, I will be, you know, discussing something so vital. you know, here is a summary of what we've done 2 days. Yesterday it was introducing this shift from generational curses, or us thinking that way, into shifting and thinking generational blessings and the power, you know, of what God has embedded in parents to transfer this blessing to their children automatically. And then we called out the responsibility on the children as well in order to retain and sustain that. They have their own responsibility. Today, we're calling out the blending of the old and the new so that there will be, because we don't want devil to take advantage of that gap. You know, close the gap, repair the breaches, you know, restore the paths to dwelling, you know, get a hold of the Lord. Believe that your children will come back, even if they went astray, and they will come back. Hallelujah. But they come back, it must come back to love. Hallelujah. Love on them, reach out to them. You know, the grace of God will touch their hearts. And also to the younger, that we must honor the older generation. You know, that's a requirement for you to get blessed, for you to live long, that it may be well with you, all these things. Let's not be like the ones that are categorized as disobedient to parents at the end. On and on and on, we try to bring these things out, how God called back, you know, our hearts to the old, to go back to the old paths, look to the good old ways, and so on and so forth. And remember that the doctrines and, you know, the oracles were once delivered to the fathers, but now from the fathers to the children as we go through this. And tomorrow, by the grace of God, that generation of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord.